Reverend Dr. William M. Gregory, and we just thank God for him allowing us to have this opportunity to reach out to God's women. Just a little bit about Girl Talk Podcast. This is just going to be a discussion. Yep. It's a discussion about life. It's a discussion about how we apply God's word to our lives as women, as mothers, as women of God in its entirety. How do we allow God's word to help us be the phenomenal women of God? And so I just want to introduce myself. I'm Minister Mimi.
Hey, Minister Mimi.
And along with us, we have my mom, my mentor, and she also happens to be my first lady, First Lady G.
Hello.
And so for today, our scripture reference that we're going to be coming from is coming from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And that scripture says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving in your hearts, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding."
Peace
that surpasses all understanding will guide your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So guess what, y'all? We're ready for some girl talk.
Girl talk!
Our first life application topic is going to be patience. Mm. And when we're talking about patience, this is something that every woman needs. I think as women in general, we're so used to always being on the go, always having a plan. I know for myself, I'm that woman that I have everything just ready to go from the time I get up to the time I go to sleep. And so sometimes we do not exercise our patience as we're going through our day to day because we're just ticking and tying. We're right. constantly going. And so we just want the ladies to know that, you know, we want to talk about patience, but we want them to know it is okay to wait.
Okay.
It is absolutely okay to wait.
Yes.
To wait on God.
Yes.
To wait on that situation. Whatever it is, just wait.
Don't be impulsive.
Just wait. And so before we even get into the topic, let's talk about Girl Talk. So like we said, it's sponsored by our church, New Birth, and our pastor is helping us out. And we also have some assistance from Reverend Anthony Kason from the Heart of God Baptist Church,
yes.
who just so happens to be your brother.
Yes.
I'm your brother. But aside from all of that, how did this come about? This is our first episode.
Yes.
So I think it would be very nice if our listeners could have a little in-depth, some details about how Girl Talk came to pass.
It definitely came from the Lord because,
okay.
you know, I'm a background person,
mm-hmm.
but when God tells us to go, we have to go. Mm-hmm. And he took me back to when I was growing up and how women empowered other women and pushed things to us to help us to be strong, phenomenal women.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to my childhood when I would go with my mother to the beauty shop and
mm-hmm.
my aunts and other women would be there talking about everyday life,
mm-hmm.
but then applying God's word to it. So about how to be patient, how to operate with a quiet spirit,
mm-hmm.
how to pray in certain situations. And we talked everything from what's going on in the world, children, relationship. They were bringing women of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
like Ruth, girl, you better put Ruth. And then they would do things like Vashti versus Esther. It's like, okay, you got to tell Vashti, be quiet. Let Esther come out. So then we moved. Then in the church, we
mm-hmm.
would have the women's ministry.
Right.
Even at New Birth, we would have on Minister Henry started every Friday. We would have that women's fellowship.
Yep.
And we would maybe bring in a biblical character, a woman's character, but we would apply it to
mm-hmm.
actual everyday life, whether
yes.
it be husband, kids,
yes.
work. And dealing with men in general,
yes.
because our character, the way God designed us, it's different from how he designed them, and we have to rely on the Lord as to how to relate to one each other. Mm-hmm. So we would have those wide open discussions. So God, during the pandemic, he spoke to me and he said, look, we've gotten away from the women's conferences. We've gotten away from the retreats. We need to discuss as women, because I've given you that confidence, that powerful power to be a phenomenal woman. Mm-hmm. But we need to continue that vein of passing that wisdom on. Mm-hmm. And we've been so busy that we haven't done that. Well, with the pandemic, it shut it down. And God's like, I want you to use the same medium that the world uses mm-hmm. to discuss and communicate for our women mm-hmm. in God's realm. So I was like, okay, Lord, but I'm not equipped to do this. And then I saw something on TV where it was an actual female podcast. And God's like, that's what I want you to do.
Wow.
But again, I was like, but Lord, I don't know. I mean, I have the wisdom that's been empowered to me. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning myself. Right. And he's like, but you can't keep it to yourself. So then I called Pastor, well, of course, I talked to Pastor G, and I called Pastor C. He's like, oh, yeah, I can tell. And it was like, and then I called you. God uh-huh. revealed it to you so that we can have a different perspective, because my children and my where I am in my feminine life mm-hmm. and what I've been through is a little further along right. than where you are. But yes. I can relate because I've been there.
Right.
As yeah. well as I can relate to my generation as well, because I'm going through it mm-hmm. now. The whole empty nest thing, the whole I've done career changes, the whole, you know, what's going on around the world mm-hmm. now, as far as our children, with the racial injustice, mm-hmm. with the illnesses, how it's being brought out now. How medical, even things as simple as medicine is not available as much to our children people, as yes. they are to other people, our community.
Right.
But the whole thing of what do I do when I'm juggling everything, whether it be work, whether it be children, whether just in a grocery store now,
yeah.
you know, everybody's on edge. And how can I take what God has told me? That's why God gave me that scripture, because it has it all in there. You got to put prayer.
Yes.
You got to be thankful. You got to have peace. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to wait. Yes. And wait can mean anything from 10 seconds to 5 years.
Yep.
Because sometimes we react. And because we are women mm-hmm. and we are emotional, we will react sometimes just out of frustration.
Right.
But then if we look at some of the women in the characters of the Bible, they were frustrated, mm-hmm. but they prayed, yes. even if it's a 2-second prayer, mm-hmm. and God directed them as to how to handle certain things. But you got to wait mm-hmm. for when you follow the obedience of the Lord and the direction that he's given, you have to wait for him to give you an answer.
Right.
And that's hard. Especially when we have 1,000 things on our plate.
Amen to that.
But all things are possible through Christ. Oh,
that's right. And it's interesting that you made mention you were talking about waiting, because sometimes it is difficult to wait. And sometimes we want to put our own input into it and put our own plan into action. And you know how you say waiting could be anywhere from 10 minutes mm-hmm. to 5 years. And that just goes to show that even God's word tells us that God's ways, his thoughts, his time, they're not like ours.
Exactly.
So, you know, we have to just exercise our faith mm-hmm. and that patience in God, and know that God will bring everything to fruition in his time and the time that he sees fit for it. So right. let's get into this thing about patience. Okay. Let's talk about patience, because that's something that I need some help with.
I'm gonna tell you,
I have a story just today coming down here on the Beltway. Mm-hmm. I'm in the car and I get on the exit to come to the Beltway, and I'm like, why is this person driving so slow? Would you go? See, I didn't exercise my patience at that moment, because I was just like, my mind was, I am driving this fast and I feel like you are slowing me down. So even today I had a test with my patience, and then I had to just stop and say, you know what? And I could have easily changed lanes, mm-hmm. but I said, no, this is my test. And being patient. So I stayed behind that person that was only driving 50 when I was probably driving about 75. So that was my test of patience for today. But when we think about patience, just let's talk about the definitions. What does it mean to be patient? What is patience?
Right.
So when we're talking about, let's talk about just regular patience. Mm-hmm. We know patience means just wait, stop, halt.
Right.
You be still, don't do anything.
Right.
Don't be impulsive. Mm-hmm. And I'm that type of person. I do not like when people are impulsive. I just feel like I need a plan for everything. I need to write it down. I need to let it sit in my mind and let it, you know, marinate. Mm-hmm. And so some people are not like that, and they're just quick to jump. But when you think about patience from a spiritual perspective, let's talk about that. What do you think patience mean when we're exercising our spiritual minds?
And it's interesting because God gave me that first topic about patience for what the podcast is. He was putting this together because through our prayer service, through our Bible study, people would, when people would make comments, especially during their time, they're like, Lord, help me with patience. And it was young and old. Mm-hmm. People were patient with their children. They were older people, patient with their job, patient with the whole situation. And so God led me to the natural definition of patience, because patience has a whole lot of different characteristics and a supernatural definition. Mm-hmm. So I went into Webster's and I was like, okay, let me see it. And I saw under patience, the natural definition is the ability to wait for a long time without becoming annoyed or upset.
I was like, get out of my way.
The ability to remain calm and not become annoyed when dealing with problems or with difficult people. That means you have to have endurance too. Right. So patience isn't always just waiting. Mm-hmm. Sometimes patience is dealing with people in a loving manner. Mm-hmm. Not reacting. Yes. Not just like, not always saying, you know how we talk about people don't have a filter?
Yeah.
Sometimes we got to have a filter.
Right, right. A lot of times, especially as women.
Right, especially because it's natural for us to react and want to fix things.
Yes.
And that's why I see in that one, the ability to remain calm and not become annoyed with dealing with problems with difficult people, meaning that we have to be patient with difficult people.
Right.
And then the other natural is the ability to give attention to something for a long time without becoming bored or losing interest. So you'll
like
see,
a relationship.
Right, exactly. Or even in the, that's what we're talking about, like daily interactions.
Yeah.
Like when you're in the store, and especially now with the social distancing, with there not being able to have as many people in the store at once, lines are longer.
Yes.
So you have to have that ability to stay. You know what? I've actually seen people that have had a whole bunch of stuff in their hand, and they've been standing in line in the grocery store, and they just don't have the patience for the cashier person to finish, put the stuff back, and go back and leave.
Wow.
But the fact of the matter is, you were in there because you needed that stuff.
Right, right.
So because you didn't have patience, you're not only are you irritated, but now you're going home without what you needed.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the natural definition. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at the supernatural, I looked at patience. When I was studying one of the Bible study tools, it says patience implies suffering, enduring, or waiting as a determination of the will and not simply under necessity. In other words, you have to choose to wait.
Yep.
It's not gonna be one of those things where it's just gonna be automatic.
Yeah.
It's not in our nature.
It's not natural.
It's not in our natural response.
Yeah,
so you have suffering, enduring, or waiting as a determination of your will. Mm-hmm. So you have to be determined that I'm gonna do this.
Yes.
And when you look at Romans 5:34, and that means endurance, it says, not only so, be we also glory in our sufferings, because we know suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope.
Yes.
So by exercising our will to be patient over the natural reaction, then we can build endurance. That will help us. And it takes practice.
It does.
Like you said, our initial reaction, our initial response is to just lash out, hurry up, I want to get out of this line.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when we're dealing with our children, and especially now being at home, you got their schoolwork, and we're also working, and they're antsy.
Yeah, they are.
And if we become antsy, then everybody's like feeding off of each other, and that's the trick of the enemy. Because if you remain patient, if you say, Lord, give me that 10 seconds, I always had the 10-second rule. Mm-hmm. Give me that 10 seconds to remain calm, not react. Mm-hmm. Then the circumstance around you will calm. And that's how you defeat the enemy. Yeah. You have to take back that control and let the supernatural overcome the natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and listening to you, I just, the three words come to my mind, and that's the will to wait. Mm-hmm. You have to have the will to wait. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny because you brought up children. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, one of my younger children, I think it was Michelle when she was little. She would always ask for something, and I'll say, well, just hold on a second, or just wait a minute, mommy will get it to you. And her response to me was, I have to wait. I gotta wait. I gotta wait. And I'm like, yes, you have to wait. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just very early on, I think, you know, in family life, mm-hmm. it's very important, like you said, because our family, our children, they feed off of our energy, right. our emotions. And so as women, it's very important for us to have that, one, to have a quiet spirit, right. but also to be patient
right.
and to exercise patience daily. And yeah, with this whole pandemic, I know my patience was plucked initially. I was very impatient at first with the fact that when school first closed back in March, when the first time it closed, there wasn't a plan mm-hmm. because this all happened so abruptly, and it was like it was disruptive to my life, to my family's life, because we didn't have order, like right. to try to get the kids in school. But I also had to work at home mm-hmm. And then trying to make sure that they had a lesson, or, you know, the schools weren't as involved in their lessons.
Right.
And so I had to like play this role of, OK, I have to be their teacher mm-hmm. and also get right. my work done.
Right.
And so it really began to weigh on me. Mm-hmm. It took a lot. And I had to pray to God mm-hmm. and I had to ask God, God, please help me, because at one point, I was like, look, y'all gonna pass regardless. It don't matter. We'll just figure something out. But I didn't want my kids to suffer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had to just say, okay, God, give me a thing. Tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I started writing out lesson plans for them. Mm-hmm. I got the dry erase board and wrote out their schedule for them. And I tried to make sure that I got the packets from the school and, you know, got everything for them. But that took patience.
Yes.
And it took endurance, because right. it seemed like there was a lot that I had to do. And it felt like I was doing it all by myself.
Right.
So, you know, at that point, I really had to rely on God. So in your family life, what are some things that you've had to deal with? My kids are younger. Mm-hmm. So as a mom with a college age daughter and young adult children that are out on their own, even for you today, what does your family life, what is it like applying patience in your family life?
And it was the same thing, but mm-hmm. like you said, in a different phase of our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing as women that we have to recognize, is that we go through different phases of our lives. And as we go with those different phases, we have to adjust.
Yeah.
When this first came to me, I told you that God led me to your message that you had preached about stay woke. Uh-huh. And one of the things you talked about in that message is we have to stay woke and be focused on God, because the world is going to throw stuff at us all the time. Uh-huh. And that's what happened with this pandemic. I had gotten comfortable uh-huh. with my kids were grown. Jessica weighs at Hampton, and it was just me and pastor.
Right.
And it's been 30 some years, so I learned how to deal with his stuff.
Right.
So I was like, okay, right. I'll be good. Right. I can handle that. So mm-hmm. I had gotten used to that kind of emptiness thing.
Right.
But then the pandemic came. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it was unstable at Hampton yeah. University. We had just taken her back. Mm-hmm. And I was glad. I mean, love my child, but it's now you got two women in the house.
Yeah.
Versus a parent and a child. Mm-hmm. So I love my child. So then I had to adjust, and then I was worried because she just got her back. Then we had to decide, do we get her on the bus mm-hmm. to come back? Do we go down to get
her? Pick her up, right.
Plus, she had actually had a cold. So then she was calling me mm-hmm. while she was at campus, and I was like, okay. And with her disability, I had to remain calm mm-hmm. and not freak out
right.
because We didn't know anything about this virus. I know that we sent her back to campus. She wasn't feeling well. Either he was going to have to drop her back, or she was going to have to catch a bus. Then how was she going to do her schoolwork? Then on my job at the same time, mm-hmm. they were trying to decide. We did a day dry run to make sure the system would work. Mm-hmm. But then we get a note in the middle of the night saying, oh, don't come back. So it's like trying to get her situated back to school just here, deal with the job, call my boss. It was juggling. And I literally had to say, okay, I have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I have to be comfortable with not knowing. God, I have to trust you. Mm-hmm. And I just did one of those things, those 10 seconds, took a moment to myself. Literally, I went in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. That's like my favorite place. Everybody needs their favorite spot, whether it's the bathroom, your room, or something, right. where you're about to lose your mind. And you just go, and God said, this is what we're going to do. And he said, I got you. You mm-hmm. trust me. And so we switched from the bus thing. Like you said, you got to be flexible. The plan was, yep, we'll tell her to get on the bus and come on back.
Right.
Then I talked to Pastor, and we talked, and both of the Lord spoke to both of us. And was like, no, we can't risk it, especially yeah. since she just got over a cold. Mm-hmm. So he drove down and picked her up, brought it down. I figured out a way to work things to set up for work. Mm-hmm. Unbeknownst, because you know I'm a consultant, a financial consultant, so I work with the different clients' equipment. So it wasn't even like it was my computer; right. it was the client's laptop. Mm-hmm. But once I took that breath, and once I recognized that I had no control over this, once I recognized that having anxiety of it wasn't going to change the situation,
no.
that's when I was able to have that peace. So in that scripture that we talked about, be anxious for nothing, the anxiety went down
yes.
with prayer. I prayed.
Oh, well,
I put a petition to the Lord, saying the supplication, okay, Lord, how you want me to handle this?
Exactly.
Work, husband, my household's going to be flipped upside down because
yes.
we just sent it back. And I was like, woo, I can get back to my empty nest now. And I had to handle her, with her, be there for her as well. Because for the
That's
almost, yeah, it's a total adjustment.
It's an adjustment, yeah.
And it's the middle of the school year, and she was finishing up her junior year, getting ready to start her senior year. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, we as women have to be the calming spirit within that household.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're losing it, then it's all over the
Everybody
place.
Everybody's going to lose it.
And that's one thing I learned in the beauty, sitting up under my mother in the beauty shop about mm-hmm. family, is that in that family, we are the rock. That is the role that God has given us. That's why he said we are our spouse's helpmeet. Mm-hmm. That's why he says train the child in the way it should be, so that when they depart, they will not depart from the Lord. That's why in there, if you look at 1 Peter 3rd chapter, it talks mm-hmm. about being submissive and having that quiet spirit
yeah.
so that the husband could be the head of the household, mm-hmm. but we run the household. We keep the household going. We keep it moving. That's why we are phenomenal women. But we can't do it if we don't have the patience to do it.
Yeah.
I will read the natural description again, because this is our natural.
Yeah.
It says, the natural for patience is the ability to wait for a long time without becoming annoyed or upset. That means that even when you're inside upset
mm-hmm.
and you confused and you don't know what to do, pastor preach that message, what do you do when you
don't know
what to
do? Yeah,
seek the Lord.
Yeah, I find myself doing that a lot, and that's helped me to practice my patience. I have this thing, and my husband actually hates it, where if there's something going on, or it's heated, or something is in disarray, I'll just start walking around the house doing whatever I'm doing, but I'm singing.
Right.
I'm singing praise songs.
Right.
And he's looking at me like, why are you singing? And I was like, because this is the only thing that's going to keep my mind and my spirit
yes.
right now.
Yeah.
I need my connection with the Lord right now, because
yes.
if I don't, I don't know what's going to happen
right.
in this house.
Right. And that's
so,
what, yeah.
Yeah, it takes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And I think that I like that description where you say, like, I keep going back to that will.
Yeah.
Because it is something that is not natural. And
right.
it is something that we have to practice. And it is something that we in ourselves have to let go of what we would naturally want to do.
Right.
And that's what makes it so hard, because naturally we don't want to exercise the patience. We want to go about things
right.
in our very own way.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this a lot with like friendships.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, we're talking about patience, and we talked about family life. Right. And let's talk about friendships, because, you know, I'm the type of person where I don't have a lot of friends.
Right. I'm the same way.
And I don't have a lot of friends because I don't have a lot of patience. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a lot of tolerance for little petty things that seem insignificant. Mm-hmm. And so when we're dealing with our friends, our good girlfriends, or just people around us, what is an example of that and us exercising that patience with friends and those around us?
Well, you know, there's different levels of friendships.
Yeah.
We have our tight friend circle. Mm-hmm. We have our work friends. Mm-hmm. We have our acquaintances, people that you run into occasionally.
Right.
We have to meet people where they are. Where you have that tight friendship circle, like I have this one friend that I've known since college. Mm-hmm. And we are so tight. It's almost like, when she's thinking, what I'm thinking is right on point. But we meet each other where we are. Like, I've always been tomboy, the rough, thick skin. Mm-hmm. Whereas you may have a friend that may be more sensitive. Mm-hmm. So if you have a friend that's more sensitive, you have to think how that person may react. Okay. And that's another form of patience, too. Sometimes we expect our friends to think the way that we are. And that's not getting to know someone.
Right.
If you get to know someone, you know what buttons will push. Mm-hmm. You know, based off their experiences, their life experiences, what things you can talk about and how you can talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I think, especially with women, because let's keep it real, we can be catty.
This is girl talk. Yes, we can,
we can
be
catty.
And petty. Like
we can
I said,
be petty. We can have a whole lot of unnecessary drama.
Right.
So we have to relate to our friends. Because now you got two emotions, whereas if you have a male and a female, they tend to see things black, white, red, and they tend not to be as reactionary as we are. Right. You know, you can push our button, and then we are falling off the deep end. Mm-hmm. But so in friendship, it's important to have that value based off of where that person is coming from. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be reciprocated. Mm-hmm. If you have a friend, and I put it in quotes, that is only pulling on you for what they need, mm-hmm. that's more of an acquaintance. Right. But that doesn't mean you cut that person off. Right. It's just that that's not someone that you're going to share your deepest secrets with or your deepest concerns with. Sometimes you have a friend that you are their listening board. Mm-hmm. And if that's your role in that relationship, that's your role in that relationship. But you shouldn't have that expectation that they're going to reciprocate that same thing.
Right.
But understand that's a limitation of your relationship. Mm-hmm. So you're friends, but you just can't go all in. Mm-hmm. But then you have that friend where they know where your mind is and they know what to say when you're in various stages of your life. Mm-hmm. And you know the same thing.
Right.
So that's someone that you can confide in. I think it was Reverend Grimes that preached that message, a true friend.
Yes.
Yeah. And one of the things he said was you have to look at your friend circle.
Yes.
And as women, we have multiple circles of friends. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you have your work friend mm-hmm. where, when, as we know, in corporate especially, you got the office politics. Mm-hmm. So there's certain people that you share things with that you can relate. And then there's certain friends that you go to lunch with that you don't share things with.
Absolutely.
But you draw that strength. The thing is, we want to build each other up. Mm-hmm. And the way that we build each other up is we relate to our friends based off where they are. Mm-hmm. As well as they based off where we are.
Right.
Too often, what I've found is that we as women either tear each other down mm-hmm. or we don't tell each other the truth.
Yeah.
And we have to be willing to lose a friend as long as by tactfully sharing with them that, girl,
you know,
we go way back,
right?
And you know, you can't be going and blowing up his car,
right?
You know, a girl, I know that you at work mm-hmm. and those people are plucking your last nerves mm-hmm. and you know they're not doing right,
right?
But you can't just have this sense of entitlement and just go off in there,
right?
There's a way that you need to do, but what they're doing is wrong. I understand that, and I see your point, and I see. You have a right to feel the way that you feel, mm-hmm. but this is how you need to handle it.
Right.
Now, that friend, there's some friends that will take it.
Yeah.
And they'll say, okay, all right, I'm going to listen to you. But there's some friends that will accuse you of being jealous, mm-hmm. will accuse you of not seeing it their way, mm-hmm. become defensive, but you can't compromise.
Right.
at that point, you agree to disagree and you keep it moving. Mm-hmm. If it's a true friend, then you can keep it moving. If it's not a true friend, they're going to hold that grudge forever. But at least you know that from a godly and a spiritual standpoint, you are honest. Right. And honest doesn't mean you need to be brutally or cruel. And again, that's where you exercise that patience. Mm-hmm. And basically in your mind, ask God to give you the words to say to that particular friend.
Great. So that was excellent. I feel like I've learned so much, and hopefully our listeners have a little more understanding of what it means to be patient, how we allow ourselves to use, rely on God's word. And guess what, ladies?
We're going to get your input. We sent out a questionnaire. So feed us just like the meter was feeding questions. We are going to have to get to feed questions and respond to some of your questions.
And remember, it's okay to wait.
Patience, patience, patience.
Thank you for listening.
Bye. You